Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.
And welcome to the Amazing Avenue Winter Meeting Special. I'm Ken Lavin. I'm joined here by Lucas Vlahos and Liam Murphy, both contributors for the site. How are you guys doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Yeah. Long time.
I'm not doing too bad.
We just forgot about Liam for a second.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, it's okay. People tend to do that.
We try not to here, but okay. So a little bit about this. We're going to try something a little bit new, and we're going to be covering the winter meetings in a little more detail. Today we're recording on Sunday, December 8th, the first day of the meetings. We're hoping to do one each night of the meetings through December 12th. So, just short reaction podcast to, discussing the major events and news that happened that day from the meetings, and today's mostly going to be a preview of where the Mets kind of sit, what they've done so far, heading into the, big meetings with everybody. So,
spoiler alert, we're already annoyed.
We're already annoyed, and I suspect that's going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess a little bit about the winter meetings in general real fast before we get into kind of the meat and potatoes. It's an annual event that Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball host every year. It goes for typically 4 days. They discuss league business, and all the teams discuss transactions, trade signings. Basically, it's an excuse to get everybody in the same place to just conduct business and figure things out for the upcoming season. It also includes a job fair, the Professional Baseball Employment Opportunities Job Fair. you laugh, but a buddy of mine got a job with the Binghamton Rumble Ponies a couple years ago, out of that. So, all you upwardly mobile job seekers out there you go.
Uh-huh.
And the Rule 5 draft takes place on the last day, which, we'll be discussing probably in pretty great depth this upcoming week on Lucas and I's other podcast, From Complex to Queen. So look out for that. And this year it's being held at the Hilton Bayfront Hotel in San Diego. So that's nice.
Nice to get out of the winter weather, I guess, for a little bit. Though I'd like the winter weather, so.
Yeah, occasionally they have them in, like, Washington or places where it's, like, cold during this time of year. And that just fundamentally doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you're going to have the cold is nice, but also if you're going to have a conference, might as well make it someplace warm.
Fair.
Someplace that would serve as sort of like a vacation destination, but,
mm-hmm.
Big fan of Iowa.
Iowa
gets a shout out. Also very cold this time of year, but I don't know, there's corn. So that's nice.
Caucuses. That kind of stuff.
So I just asking for some clarification. Is the whole minor league contraction plan being discussed at this winter meetings too?
I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure with everybody in one place that there's definitely going. I would assume there are meetings between Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball to hammer.
Bernie Sanders is actually standing outside with a picket sign right now, complaining about it.
Feel the burn, guys.
I take no political stance on this podcast.
We're not making any political politics.
That's just a thing that happened this week.
All right.
All right. So you guys want to get into our first segment?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, you want to discuss Marisnik and Brock?
Yeah, just kind of where we sit as the meetings are starting. You know, maybe thoughts and reactions, and then we'll kind of get into what this says about the Mets, where they're at, and where they think they're at.
Nothing good.
Yeah. So I guess for those of you who don't know, the Mets traded for Jake Marisnik of the Astros. They traded Kennedy Corona, minor leaguer who split the year between the Dominican Summer League, the Gulf Coast League, and cameoed with Brooklyn at the end of the year, and Blake Taylor, who was recently converted to the pen and pitched between, I think, high A and double A this year?
Yes.
Last year?
He got like one inning in AAA, I think, something like that. Yeah. Or maybe it was one out, whatever.
Yeah, so I guess we'll start with what are you guys' thoughts on Jake Marisnik, what they gave up, the process here.
Jake Marisnik is fine. He's a defensively talented center fielder. They needed that. It fits. They didn't give up a real prospect, though I like Blake Taylor a lot as a lefty who can get righties out and pitch multiple innings.
Mm-hmm.
The process is terrible.
Right? Yeah,
like, I would just go sign Kevin Pillar for $3 to $4 million more than what Marisnik will cost you and keep two prospects.
There's like, literally like 20 of these guys available. Billy Hamilton would largely fall into this category as a low-end version of this, but like another guy who could be had for literally nothing. Gerard Dyson we talked about 10 minutes ago
mm-hmm.
on our other show. You know, these guys are available.
For money.
For money and not talent. Sorry, Liam. I think we cut you off a little bit there.
No, it's fine. I was just going to probably also bring up the point of how Corona is maybe not the guy to deal to a team like the Astros.
Yeah, for the record, I think you I think he played in the game that we saw Allen in together at the end of the year. I don't think
me and Steve were currently discussing this.
Yeah.
Earlier. Yeah, I believe I saw him. And I think he was hitting bombs because I think I was texting Jared. I'd have to go back through my text, but I was texting Jared at the time. I just remember somebody hitting bombs, but might not have been Corona.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I definitely care more about Taylor, and I know I attach to random relievers, so I'm wrong probably. Hey, but
that is your right as somebody who follows this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like Taylor in his first year out of the bullpen was running a 5-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio, pitching multi inning outings as a lefty reliever. It's like fitting three different archetypes that are becoming more popular out of the bullpen. The Mets haven't really developed any of these guys, and they just said, you know, let's trade a guy with a high spin rate and some promising bullpen results to a smarter team than us. What could go wrong?
Right,
like, I'm
his,
willing to bet money.
Curveball was his best pitch?
Yes.
Okay, just
clarifying. I'm willing to, like, put money down. Granted, like, in all reality, like, Taylor probably sucks. Corona probably never makes the majors. It's not a big deal. But the process of it is just awful. Like, you traded two prospects in order to save $3 to $4 million. Which I could tolerate if this team was, like, at the luxury tax or something. And be like, all right, fine, you're at the tax. They're $50 million short of the tax or something. Like, I don't know. It's very irritating. And watch Blake Taylor be like the Astros replacement for Will Harris this year or something.
Watch Jake Taylor or Blake Taylor be like slightly better than all of the random shuttle arms that are bound to get their tits lit.
Randomly better than the seventh or eighth arms in the Mets bullpen right now,
better than Chris Mazza.
Ty Bashler and I don't even know who the eighth guy would be. No one good.
Insert slapdick prospect here.
Slapdick prospect.
And that's the name of the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Tony, yeah, Blake Snell is great. I love Blake Snell.
That was one of the better quotes I've heard of all time. It's I can't top that.
I also know I've lost my train of thought. Total not separate. I know we make fun of the Rays for like the meme of make 12 moves to get slightly cheaper and slightly worse. Yes, I see it. That meme. That said, I think that fam trade was pretty good for them, but whatever.
I think it was more of like the
the hilarity of Snell game. Yeah. Like, on Twitch was great. Can we get the Mets players when the Wilpons do stupid stuff? That'd be fantastic. I want to see.
I wouldn't be surprised. Pete Alonso streaming.
I mean, didn't he call out Andy Martino of SNY on Twitter like 2 days ago?
I think this is correct. All right, so do we want to start talking about Brad Brock now?
Sure. We'll circle around to Big Pete.
What do you guys have to say about Brad Brock?
Fifth or sixth arm in a bullpen for, what did he get, like $1 million? Nice move. Yeah. As a setup guy, which is what he will be at the end of the offseason, what the hell?
Again, I'm completely confused by this offseason now, just with the recent events.
Mm-hmm. Wild times we're living in.
Yeah, especially with the way this offseason's panning out. This is a very, we'll get into this once we start talking about the larger major league playing field, but, you know, players are getting paid again. Still not at the same level. I think Rob Arthur had a Twitter post about this, but they're still not getting paid. Garrett Cole's getting made a $245 million deal from the Yankees. So I don't know, because I was thinking maybe Gio Gonzalez would sign a $7 million deal, but with Zach Wheeler getting 5 and 118, I don't know. I don't know how any of these contracts are going to pan out.
I think I wonder if every team is just leaning into the avoid mid-tier free agents entirely mantra, that being like the top 9 or 10 guys are going to get big contracts, bigger than we expect, but still what commensurate with what they deserve. And all the mid-tier guys who actually aren't that good and historically have been overpaid are just not going to get paid. Like Gio Gonzalez isn't going to get that much, I don't think.
Yeah, if we're looking at, you know, the list of guys who were non-tendered as sort of like where the middle class of free agency, you know, comparable to that middle class of free agency that's dying, mm-hmm. You know, it seems like you're right, where the high-end guys or the guys who are, you know, the upper echelon of that sort of middle tier mm-hmm. are getting paid, but nobody wants to shell out for the middle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, simply put, the middle tier of free agency has never been a good place to invest.
No, like, yeah.
If the game is moving in the direction where teams want to pay high-end stars a lot and not pay for mid-tier guys, the player union should lean into that and be fine, okay, now pay the young guys more. And then rebalance things that way. Like, I'm not going to get particularly upset about Gio Gonzalez not getting paid.
I like Gio Gonzalez. I just love a good curveball, and you know, my aesthetic.
Yeah, I can sympathize with that. Curveballs have always been my favorite pitch to watch.
But like, I'm wondering if Kyle Gibson's contract or Jordan Lyles' contract is kind of a way forward for some of these mid-tier free agents, because even Jordan Lyles and I just said his name, Kyle Gibson. They got 2 and 3 years respectively for like 8 and 10 million AAV.
The Rangers feel like the ones tacking away from this idea though, right? Cause they gave Mike Minor the same contract. They gave why do I want to say Kyle Loesch? That's not it. Lance Lynn. They gave Lance Lynn the same contract. Like, this is the second offseason in a row. They're like, yeah, we'll just give a bunch of mid-tier pitchers mid-tier contracts. And they have now like Lynn, Minor, Gibson, and Lyles, and suddenly they have a full rotation.
Which is like something you can do with mid-tier free agents. You can go out and sign a bunch for like, I mean, what? You're getting probably 300 innings for $18 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
I don't hate, like, I think these contracts are fine. Like, I think the mid-tier guys would have, in the past, if, like, you scaled up previous free agent spending on mid-tier guys to modern dollars, the mid-tier guys would be getting, like, 50 or 60 million, which is just not, like, that's not worth investing, probably. Like, but for 10 million a year, absolutely, I'll take Kyle Gibson and Mike Minor and Lance Lynn.
Yeah, you're paying him respect. Like, there's no upside there, but you're paying him for what he is, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. My biggest issue with Brock is that why did this have to happen now? Is somebody like, like.
He might have wanted to come back and his agent might have reached out and they might have.
Famous for bringing back old faces, regardless of. It's just like, I can't help but think that Brett Brock is, you know.
Look,
either cooked or.
I have.
Cooked.
I care a lot less about teams moving fast to sign low value contracts, right? Like, I have no problem with being an early mover to sign someone who I think is a decent, like, sixth or seventh inning reliever to a cheap deal.
Yeah, it's true.
Signing Jurys Familia to a 3-year, $30 million deal ahead of everyone else is pretty damn stupid, but I can't get worked up over Brock of them bringing back Brock early. What we should get worked up is that they're not going to add another reliever.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is it makes me think that maybe this is what we're in store for. Oh,
absolutely.
It will be extremely interesting to see how quickly people get signed, especially because it really does look like Gerrit Cole will be signed within the next 2 weeks, and the effect that not being signed had on the earning potential of players last year.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder, like, if the Yankees / Angels pivot hard to Strasburg if they miss on Cole, or if they're just much less interested in him. So we'll see what happens there.
Hmm.
And then, like, in terms of people the Mets are going to invest in, like, there are barely any, like. There's no catchers worth spending money on. Like, I'd like Jason Castro as a backup, but whatever. There's no center fielders worth spending money on. There's not even that many relievers worth spending money on at this point. They missed on Pomeranz, and who else? And Will Smith went to the Braves. Who else is there? Dellin Betances? Ugh. So I don't know that they're going to spend a whole lot, honestly.
Yeah. So let's take a break, and then we'll continue to look ahead at the, you know, where the Mets sit and, you know, what we hope they accomplish in the upcoming meetings across the next few days. So let's take a break.
This episode is sponsored by Stash, a smarter, simpler way to start investing. With Stash, you can begin investing in a wide array of companies and diversified funds for as little as $5. Stash offers unlimited trading with no add-on trading commissions, so you can invest without worrying about getting nickel and dimed. You can choose your own stocks and funds to build a personalized portfolio, or let Stash help build one for you. Stash demystifies investing with personalized financial guidance and education. They can even help you set up a plan for retirement saving. Stash will give you $10 today to get started investing. Just visit www.stash.app with the code SBNation. That's www.stash.app with code SBNation to get your $10 to start investing on Stash. Investment advisory services offered by Stash Investments LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. For disclosures and to learn how to claim your $10 to invest, visit www.stash.app.
Hey, I'm Spencer Hall.
I'm Holly Anderson.
I'm Ryan Nanny.
I'm Jason Kirk, and we're the hosts of the Shutdown Fullcast, your Avengers of College Football podcast. It says here in the script I'm to riff on what that means, and basically what I mean is it's all already spoiled.
Every Tuesday, we talk about everything from cooking disasters to pro wrestling to unfashionable pants we wore in middle school.
We also do talk about college football every now and then, like mascot fights, announcers fleeing the booth early, and unfashionable pants that coaches wear now.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it should be taken, Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or in your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back. This is the Amazing Avenue Winter Meeting Special, tentatively titled Slapdick Prospect. I'm Kenneth Lavin. I'm joined by Lucas Vlahos and Liam Murphy. And we just discussed sort of where the Mets sit after making a few moves pre-winter meetings. Now let's start looking ahead and discuss what we think the Mets will do and what we hope they'll do in the next couple of days. Mm-hmm.
So, Lucas, you want to go first?
Sure. So I made a tweet about this, actually, and I forget what I was tweeting about. I was angry about something. Point is, I said the Mets will sign one mid-tier reliever, Rick Porcello, and like a bad backup catcher, roll the same team. Oh, it was after Zach Wheeler signed. I'm like, look, they're going to replace Wheeler with Porcello, sign one reliever and a bad bench bat, roll it back and say, we tried. Like, so it's going to be Rick Porcello, reliever. Like, maybe it might be just be Brad Brock. Ugh.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is Brad Brock the
mid-tier reliever? He might be. And then, I don't know, like,
it's probably Dylan Betances. He kind of checks all the boxes, right?
That's such a typical bad Mets signing.
What? Yep. Let's take this guy who has not been healthy in over a year. And
and did he didn't actually tear his Achilles, did he, or did he? I'd almost be more willing to sign him if he had already torn it so that he'd already had the surgery. Like, so yeah, one bad bench bat.
Maybe it was partially torn. Marcella.
Did he have surgery or no?
I will tell you right now. Just continue on.
Okay. Like I said, crummy bench bat, which might be Max Moroff, who they're very high on. One mid-tier reliever, which might be Brad Brock. Rick Porcello, because we've been saying that for like 6 months.
So it's going to happen. On that note, Andy Martino of SNY earlier today said that of Rick Porcello, he's on the list, but the Mets might go with more of a depth piece. Depends on his price market.
What? What is more of a depth piece than
more
Rick Porcello?
More of a depth piece than Rick Porcello. Hey, here's the answer who's not.
Probably Homer Bailey.
Homer Bailey would be better than Rick Porcello. I'd rather sign Homer Bailey.
Wow, that is a hot take, sir.
Homer Bailey was really good last year.
Wait, he was? I was not paying attention to Homer Bailey last year. Full honesty, I don't think you can blame me for that one.
8.2 K9, 2.92 BV9, 4.57 ERA, 4.11 FIP, 3 F4.
Wow.
He just started spamming
Homer Bailey.
I'd rather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's one of the optimization guys.
Gotcha. You think they
sign Homer Bailey and have him spam his splitter for 150 innings and give Rick Porcello $9 million?
You think Jeremy Hellickson then? Is that a depth speed? Yeah, yes. That's a depth. Yeah,
that's a signing.
That's a fine vintage there. By the way, Dylan Betances did not get surgery. It was just that, yeah, hospital for like special surgery.
So he didn't get surgery?
Nope.
So the Mets will sign him, he will pitch two innings, he will fully tear the Achilles and be done.
Perhaps.
That is exactly what will happen.
That is the most Mets outcome possible.
So that's what you think the Mets will do, and what you would hope for the Mets to do would be...
So I'm going to be simple and just say make the team appreciably better. Make the team better in a real and tangible way. Take all of those things we think they are going to do and just do them in the right way.
We should bifurcate this, right? Like, what would we actually like them to do? I'd like them to go sign Gerrit Cole and Anthony Rendon.
Well, yeah.
But that's so far beyond the realm of possibility. Like, what would we actually like them to do that's somewhat within the framework of what
realm of what is possible given.
Yeah, like, Gerrit Cole is most likely being signed by the Yankees as currently being leaked out several times. Great. And sometimes a team just wants a player and you're not going to beat them.
They did draft him as a high schooler. They've loved him for like a
decade. Yeah, isn't this like the third time they've been in on Garrett Cole?
Yes, yes.
Oh, man, Craig Stammen is being leaked to the Mets.
Who?
Craig Stammen.
I don't hate that, honestly.
But it's not a bad signing.
I don't
hate on MLB trade rumors.
Yeah, I just like, cool with that. That's fine. Again, just throw – we need depth in this pen more than anything else.
So
maybe the one not guy more than that, anything else, but yeah.
The one guy that I have kind of hooked on as a good depth signing now is Jason Castro, who I mentioned already. I would really like to see Jason Castro brought in as a second catcher. Good defender, has a history of hitting decently well, but had a down lost playing time last year to Mitch Garver. Bats lefty, so he complements Ramos in that regard. He's older. He's probably not going to get a lot of money. Like, that's a high-quality backup that lets you keep Ramos healthy and keep him off the field for your pitchers who don't want to pitch to a terrible receiver. Like, if they're going to invest in a good bench piece, I'd like Castro.
Yeah,
Chirinos is very much in that same bent.
Chirinos can't play defense.
Yeah, sure, I think he's being seen. He's seen as a very good receiver.
Can he? Is he?
That's what I was looking at.
Okay, I might be wrong. I'm checking real quick.
The thing I particularly
I'm looking at who he's a personal catcher for.
Oh, right. He was like Verlander's personal receiver, wasn't he?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, again, it's all relative, but there are people that, again, catching stats aren't. Public catching data isn't very good.
Baseball Prospectus actually says Chirinos was a good framer, so you're right. I'm wrong. I didn't realize he was a good framer.
Bang, bang.
Yep. I like Castro personally, mostly just because he's left-handed and has a history of hitting righties very well, which Wilson Ramos does not necessarily. So if you're looking for a 50-50 timeshare, I think that's a pretty good way to do it. That's pretty leverageable.
Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking. How do you guys feel about some of those non-tender arms? I think that's like the most interesting part of the market in terms of guys to fill out the back of the rotation. Like, gamble on Kevin Gausman or Taiwan Walker. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I will take Taiwan Walker over Kevin Gausman any day. And
really?
It's just because I've watched a lot of Brave starts. Beyond my Mets fandom, I also watch just like Phillies games as well because I'm a weirdo. And yes, no, I say no to Kevin Gausman, please, no. He had a 5.72 ERA last year, which
he's one of those
like
guys,
not
like would we still be talking about him if he wasn't a top prospect at one point?
Well, he did have a couple. He was good for 3 years before last year.
Mm. But like, good is relative in that it was like, what was it? Like a high 3, low 4 ERA in the era where, but like, again, that was a era. It's a different ball now.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say this though. Here are his stats as a reliever last season. 11.95 K9, 2.21 BB9. 2.72 FIP. I would be really interested in him as a multi-inning reliever if he'd sign in that role.
Will the Mets deploy him in way?
Absolutely not, but, you know.
This is the question we have to ask before we say anything.
I always say that whenever you're talking about Mets, Mets stuff, you have to have the conversation as what the Mets will realistically do versus what the Mets should do, you know, not tied to anything. I'm not sure which is more interesting, but.
Like, I really want the Mets to sign Shogo Akiyama.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Which one is he?
Really
is he the center fielder or the corner outfielder?
Center fielder.
Okay. I can't keep them straight.
I spoke to Kaz. I'd do it.
I'd give it a shot, absolutely.
Yeah, why not?
I also kind of want Pedro Strop. Why not?
Sure. I'd give
it a shot. My dream would be just sign Gio Gonzalez and like one other random starting pitcher, move Steven Matz to the bullpen as a multi-inning reliever and just go from there, and then maybe sign Shogo Akiyama.
Let me float one other topic that I think is important here.
Sure.
What do you do with Dom Smith?
All right, so let's take it this way. If Dom Smith is on the team next year, what is his role?
Limited bench bat.
Yeah.
Who doesn't play the outfield well. He doesn't play the outfield well. He doesn't hit as well as J.D. Davis. He doesn't hit as well as Pete Alonso. So you have a first base outfield bench bat who is a worse hitter and equally bad defender to the guys in front of him. He's probably better at first than Pete, but whatever.
Yeah, but that's like quibbling. He's not leagues better.
He has no role on this team. I would trade him for the best reliever I could. Just find a team.
I think agree.
With who needs a first baseman. Like maybe the Tigers. The one guy I'd really love to get my hands on, and I don't know if it's feasible, would be Jose Leclerc. Because the Rangers do need a first baseman.
And Leclerc is one of the cheap extension guys.
Leclerc has a really cheap extension and then regressed because his control is kind of nutty. And by which I mean it's all over the place, but his strikeout rate is insane. Like and he got time as an opener last year. Not that the Mets will do that, but like I don't think Dom Smith or the team is served well by him being on the team next year.
Yep.
Do we want to frame our discussion of what the Mets want to do based off of what the other teams in our division have done? Because both the Braves and Phillies have made pretty significant adds.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.
There is a very loose, tangible structure to this, so.
Yeah, I think this is a good way to, we say what the Mets might want to do, and then this is what the Phillies are going to do. And the Phillies might get Anthony Rendon alongside their already acquired Zach Wheeler.
Yep.
Which is pretty good.
So we've already seen one team in the division get significantly better, right? Regardless of what your thoughts are on Zach Wheeler and how good he actually is.
He's way better than Vince Velasquez.
Exactly. He's a significant upgrade over the incumbent. So
and more importantly, they can shove Velasquez in the bullpen now where his stuff might actually be really, really good.
Yeah. I hate to break it to you, Lucas. I've seen it.
Seen what?
I've seen him in the bullpen. I saw it last year.
Still not good?
It's still not good.
I don't know. Like, maybe an off-season. And like
who knows? Maybe he goes to driveway.
Who knows? Driveway.
Meanwhile, the
Braves. Oh, yeah. I guess they are really going to be a driveline team now, right?
They are,
hitting coach is directly from there. Or one of the minor league coordinators is directly from driveline.
The Braves still have Melanson, who they acquired last year. They kept Chris Martin. They kept Darren O'Day. And they also signed the best reliever on the market in Will Smith.
The Braves have also gotten significantly better. And it's worth noting, on a team that was significantly better than, the Mets were.
The Nats are signaling that they're not going to re-sign both Stras and Rendon, so they're going to get worse. So that's nice. But
they were a comparable team, and the Mets have lost a few key pieces. And
I mean, hell, even the Marlins are getting better.
Yeah, they got Aguilar and VR. How much do you want to bet that, like, Addison Russell winds up there randomly?
Oh, God.
It's entirely possible.
Which will be very annoying, but I think that's what happens.
Yeah, you're not wrong. He might also end up on the, like, Orioles, weirdly.
Sure, sure. He's going to wind up on that kind of team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really frustrating to see the Mets really not going for it when both I mean, the Braves aren't going to go to the luxury tax. They're dumb, and the way they're – what is it, Liberty Media?
Yeah.
Liberty Media. But, again, they're spending money, but they also have a ton of space for it because they've severely underpaid everybody. But the Phillies are clearly making an intention to say screw it to the luxury tax and just go for it.
There's an understanding there that they need to get better if they're going to get where they want to get. And yeah. I wish that was the case with the Mets, I guess. So let's throw to another break, and when we come back, we'll kind of wrap this conversation up, and I want to make a few more points. So let's go to a break.
Hey, I'm Jason Del Rey. I recently wrapped up Land of the Giants, The Rise of Amazon. In this podcast, we examine how Jeff Bezos turned a small online bookseller into one of the most powerful companies in the world. We start by exploring how Amazon Prime became a service with over 100 million members and the main source of the company's power.
I mean, I think that's kind of what Amazon's banking on, right? That you're just so locked in that you're going to go to any other sites because, I mean, I don't.
And we end the season by pondering the question, is Amazon too big?
You know, and we just don't want to be the United States of Amazon. We just really don't.
Land of the Giants has been recommended by the New York Times, Axios, Wired, and more. It's a candid look at the state of Amazon today, how we got here, and what the future might look like. The entire first season is out now. Find out more and binge it on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back. This is the Amazing Avenue Winter Meetings Special. I'm Ken Lavin. I'm joined by Lucas Vlahos and Liam Murphy. Let's just kind of wrap up and with our discussion of what we're hoping for from the Mets at the winter meetings. So one point that I wanted to make is I am very pessimistic about what the Mets are going to do this upcoming week, mostly just because of all of the news that's come out about the change in ownership that's currently being negotiated between the Wilpons and Steve Cohen. Mm-hmm. And also based on what they've already done, I think that this is going to be mostly a holding pattern and hoping on variance for the winter meetings and then moving forward. What do you guys think about that?
I agree. Yeah, I'm not very optimistic in any way.
Who knows? Maybe they'll surprise us, but.
Yeah, I'm more towards you. I don't know if old man Fred goes, I want a World Series, and just decides to go for it, which he might.
Yep.
Because they're only in control of the team for 5 years, and does he really care if he just pays a penalty if he really wants the championship? I don't know.
I mean, if that's the case, we'd hear rumors about it by now, right? Because if they were going to do something like that, they'd be in on Cole and Rendon, and those markets are already heating up, and we've heard nothing.
I think it would take them being bad this year for that to happen next year. I think that's my thought on that. Mm. Like, you would have to have I was talking to somebody else. I was talking to Steve Saipa today, actually, and we both kind of were wondering who the severe underperformance from last year will be. And that will kind of determine.
J.D. Davis.
No, I was actually saying it would be probably somebody more random. Just who knows? You know, there's always the weird Brandon Nimmo plays with a injured neck.
Oh yeah, there's gonna be one of
them. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There will always be one. It doesn't.
The history of this organization, like somebody's gonna be asked to play hurt for a month, and then. You know,
Fred Wilpon has also thought Brandon Nimmo was bad for like half a decade now. So,
yeah, there's several ways.
Would you say that the Mets still view Brandon Nimmo, despite being a real big leaguer, as a slapdick prospect?
Probably. Not just a real big leaguer, an elite hitter.
Yeah, no, a very good hitter. Yes,
the dude's an elite hitter.
I think the one thing that might influence them away from thinking that is everybody else asking for Brandon Nimmo.
It's likely like, they trade an outfielder.
Almost every team in baseball would line up for a 130 weighted high on base percentage bat who can fake it in center occasionally and play good corner outfield defense.
He legitimately is an elite on base percentage, like, talent. You're talking about, like, outliers. Brandon Nimmo is an outlier when it comes to plate discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been our.
He walked 80% of
Malcolm
the time.
Gladwell.
He walked 18% of his plate appearances, and he couldn't turn his head for at least half the season. That's an elite skill set. All right.
Now seems like a proper time to wrap up, I suppose.
Yeah. Let's do that. So this has been the Amazing Avenue Winter Meeting Special, tentatively titled Slapdick Prospect. We're hoping to do a couple of these, you know, each night for the next few nights while the winter meetings are happening to just kind of recap what's going on. So please check out the site at AmazingAvenue.com as well as all of its accounts on social media. They're at Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm Ken Lavin. You can find me on Twitter at KenLavin91. My co-hosts are Lucas Vlahos. Lucas, where can people find you on Twitter?
LVlahos343.
Dope. Liam, I'm also joined by Liam Murphy. He is, you know, you want to?
At JEANZ 10470. It's a terrible handle, I know. Mm.
And, yeah, you can find the show as well as all of the other great shows that the site has to offer, including Unformatable, A Pod of Their Own, Amazing Avenue Audio, The Show, and the aforementioned From Complex to Queens, on the Amazing Avenue audio feed on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts from. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show on, you know, iTunes or wherever you get you're listening to this from. You can get in contact with the show by reaching out to any of us on Twitter or by emailing aaaudiopodcast@gmail.com and including Winter Meeting Special in the subject line, since Amazing Avenue Audio, the show, was nice enough to loan us that for the week. And yeah, we'll hopefully be back tomorrow to recap days 1 and 2 of the winter meeting. So let's go Mets, and let's hope most of what we said is wrong.
Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.